Blog Talk Radio.
Live to see it, friends. You're listening to The World Transformed 1.5 on Fast Forward Radio. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and I'm pleased to welcome you to this program, which begins a new series, a special series that connects The World Transformed, our original 10-part series that explores the major transformations that are making our world utterly different from what it has been before and that are, in effect, creating the future. And The World Transformed 2, which will be our new special series coming up a little bit later this year. In this special series, we're going to be talking about how we can live in a world transformed, what it means to live in a world transformed. And we'll begin that discussion tonight with a look at how our thinking must change. Some thoughts on what it will mean to live in a world where human lifespan is indefinite. And then some thoughts on what it will mean to live in a world where our fundamental relationship with matter has been transformed. So let's begin. What will it mean to live in a world transformed? How will life be different in a world transformed? First off, if we want to make the most of what the world has to offer us, we will have to change our thinking. There's always been a relationship between how we think and how we interact with the world. Now, a large part of that is the relationship between what we can imagine and what we can experience. Of course, these things don't entirely overlap. There's a lot of stuff we can imagine that we can't actually experience. I can imagine myself pitching a Major League Baseball game, for example. That's not going to happen. And then there are some things that happen that are so unexpected that we just never imagine them. Here I am, 48 years old, and my wife and I are expecting twins in a few months. Now, that scenario was not one that I could even imagine until pretty recently. But then there's the area where what we imagine and what we experience do overlap. We find that most of what we experience comes from that which we could imagine. It's a subset. Except for those rare occasions where the world catches us completely off guard, everything we experience is something we could imagine experiencing. No, I'm not saying that we make things happen by imagining them. I know there are plenty of podcasts and blogs and best-selling books and DVDs that will make that case for you if that's what you want to hear. But this is not one of those. I'm saying that being able to imagine more possibilities opens you up to more possibilities. Of course, imagination is only part of the equation. Knowledge and understanding of the world are the other key component. And here we find a wonderful kind of reciprocal enrichment. The more we know and the more we understand, the more clearly we're able to imagine new possibilities. And the more vivid our imagination of how things might work, the more we are drawn to a clearer understanding of how they do work. So making the most of life in a world transformed has to do with sharpening both our imagination and our knowledge and understanding. And of course, those two goals have everything to do with Fast Forward Radio and the World Transform series are all about. So let's consider these possibilities. Let's start with the idea of the indefinite lifespan. Imagine a world in which all of the deadly diseases that we have to contend with in our world have been eliminated. No more cancer, heart disease, diabetes, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. Additionally, imagine a world in which aging itself is treatable or has been eliminated. In The World Transformed, we talk about the technologies currently under development that will likely allow us to realize these very unlikely sounding goals. A world without illness, infirmity, or aging sounds like a fantasy. It sounds like a utopia. But in fact, it's a very real possibility. So imagine living in that world for a moment, a world in which you don't have a set expiration date. And you'll note that I said a set expiration date. We're not talking about a world without death per se. There still might be accidents or wars or foul play. but most of us don't build our lives around the possibility of dying from those things. Most of us plan on growing old and having what we would think of as the best case scenario of dying as painlessly as possible while still in a somewhat lucid state somewhere in our 90s. The best case scenario that we have today is to die from, quote, old age, even though old age on its own doesn't really kill you. We're still talking about heart failure, pneumonia, or some other final catastrophe that finishes you off. Now, that's not a great outcome, but oddly, it's better than most of the viable alternatives we're presented with. So now imagine a completely different best case scenario, a real best case scenario, one where we retain youth and health and vitality, not for 50 or 60 or 70 years, but imagine this, for 5, 6, or 700 years. How do we live in that world? How does a human life unfold? How would we manage our careers, our relationships, our finances? I mean, imagine buying a house in a world where people live to be 700 years old. Could you get a mortgage with a term of 300 years? Would people stay in college until they were 80 or 90 years old? Surely no one possessing such a lifespan would perform the same job for such an immense period of time. More likely, most people would have several careers across the course of their lifetimes. After one career ran its course, they would retrain and then start another, and then another, and so on. And for good or for ill, the same would likely be true of relationships. There will be a few couples who will make it to their 500th wedding anniversary, but I think it will be a very few. Start considering those possibilities. As outrageous as it may sound to some of you, it's entirely possible some of you listening, maybe many of you, will live to see your 700th birthday. Next, let's imagine living in a world in which our fundamental relationship with matter has been transformed. In order to explain what I mean by this, let's think about some of the basic characteristics of how we interact with matter. I'm talking about physical stuff here: food, clothing, shelter, modes of transportation, electronic gadgets. So how do we interact with all these things? This isn't normally something we think about. First off, our interactions with material goods are limited by availability. If I want a sandwich, I need some money to buy one, or I need some bread and sandwich makings in order to make my own. Or say I want a house. Again, I'll need enough money and or credit to buy one. Or I need some land, some materials, the right tools, and the know-how that will enable me to build my own house. The bottom line on both sandwiches and houses is that they are relatively scarce. So contrast that situation with this. Say I need a few sentences on the subject of getting a house or a sandwich. Something like what you just heard me say. Well, I can sit down at my keyboard and bang those sentences out in a few minutes. A paragraph on the subject of getting a house or getting a sandwich costs me about the same amount of time and effort as getting a real sandwich would. And of course, it costs vastly less time and effort than getting a real house would. At least, that's how it works now. In the original World Transform series, one of the subjects we discussed at some length was nanotechnology, the emerging ability to manipulate material goods at the molecular level. This technology is still in its early stages, but we can expect significant progress in the coming years. As we perfect this new approach to managing physical objects, nanotechnology will lead us to a world where we can move, reconfigure, and reproduce materials, physical objects, the way we currently move, reconfigure, and reproduce pixels on a computer screen. In other words, in that world, an actual house, a brick house with 6 bedrooms and a veranda and an intricate mosaic floor, whatever you have in mind, will be no harder to come by than a paragraph of text is today. Or say you want several houses. It will be roughly as easy as performing copy and paste functions with that text. But there's more. Each of the types of material goods that I mentioned earlier, clothing and housing and so forth, serves its own purpose, and we interact with it accordingly. The modalities are set. No one drives a blanket to work or snuggles up with their car on a snowy evening. Well, the digitizing of matter is going to break down those boundaries. And that's what we're talking about here, the digitizing of matter. Some of you may remember an animated TV show from the 60s called The Jetsons. The show was set in the future, as it was imagined half a century or so ago, and its opening title sequence showed the protagonist, George Jetson, flying to work in his flying car. When George arrived at work, he got out of the car, hit a button, and his car dutifully folded up into a briefcase, which he then carried into his office. Now, no doubt, back in the day, that seemed like a wildly fanciful notion, or, you know, just a clever gag to include in a children's cartoon, but not a scenario that anyone would take seriously. Well, today, we take that seriously. Again, digitized matter will be roughly as easy to manipulate as pixels on a computer screen, which means that changing the item in front of you from a car to a briefcase will be as easy as clicking the next button in a web browser to navigate from a web page with a picture of a car on it to a web page with a picture of a briefcase on it. And please note, when George gets into the office and opens up his briefcase, it's not full of very cleverly folded car parts. The briefcase contains papers he's been working on, his laptop, his iPod, maybe even his lunch. Right before lunchtime, some coworkers suggested a bike ride would be fun. George agrees, so he hits a different button on his briefcase, and it becomes a bicycle and helmet. At a meeting that afternoon, George's boss, Mr. Spacely, asks to see how much progress has been made on a new prototype piece of equipment. But that's okay. George has another button on his briefcase. This might all sound fantastic, like something out of a fairy tale, but that doesn't mean that technology will not allow it. Imagine trying to explain the automobile or the telephone to a hunter-gatherer from 10,000 years ago. If you were somehow able to get the basic concepts across, she would be certain that what you were describing was magic. So this is what we have to prepare ourselves to do. Living in a world transformed means living in a world that sounds fantastic, even magical, from where we sit now. It won't seem magical at all when we get there, any more than the automobile or the telephone seem magical to us today. But in order to get there, and in order to make the most of what the world offers us, we need to begin to take those ideas seriously. And we need to begin to prepare ourselves for the almost infinite possibilities that lie ahead. Coming up on Monday, we'll be back with the Fast Forward Radio Archives, our first ever appearance of James Hughes on Fast Forward Radio. Wednesday evening, we will have our live show, and 1 week from tonight, we'll be back with the second part of The World Transformed 1.5, talking about some more of the amazing transformations that we can expect to see. I hope you'll be able to join us for all of those programs, and until next time, I'm Phil Bauermaster. Live to see it.